Okay, the Gospel of Matthew. Let's lay the Word of God. God makes the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to Him, my strength and my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, my name is Pastor Michael Schneider. My dad was German Jewish. And my mom was English Spanish. So I'm half Jewish. I remember when I was a kid and my parents were never really talked about our racial people's racial backgrounds. And that was because my dad was Jewish and my mom was Spanish. She was Latino. And I was raised a Catholic, and I knew Jesus was my Savior. My mom and my dad were really kind of played down this Jewish thing, kind of like they were playing it down. And I finally started reading the Word of God when I was about 33 or early 30s. And I started with the book of Matthew. Later on, I find out the book of Matthew was called, it was called, it's called a book of faith, is what it's called. And some people call it a story of a Jewish prophet. In my overview, it says Matthew 6:30. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. When I was on the internet, I was introduced to a ministry. It was called One for Israel. And they had a lot of I guess videos on YouTube. And I started watching it. That was kind of interesting. And it was all about these Jewish people. And when you mentioned the name Jesus, boy, they really got upset. They were irritated and they became very, I mean, almost to the point where they were irrational. But half of them grew up in Jewish homes, observing Jewish holidays and customs. They grew up, many of them turned into drugs, not knowing God and or anything they believed in. There wasn't anything they believed in, really. But every once in a while they would run into Christians. Some of them had really good experiences. So they had to change their theology or their thought process about Christians, because they had already been taught that Christians hated Jews because they killed Jesus. So they were very fearful of Christians. When they met a Christian, it was just the opposite. And when they were given a New Testament, many were thinking it was going to be Catholic, because that's where a lot of this, they thought Catholics were really, really against them. And they thought, boy, back in the old days, they used to just terrorize Jewish people because of that, because of they came against Jewish Jesus or something that was non-Jewish. And they were surprised to find out that it was, when they read, that it was a Jewish book. They even said the scriptures spoke to their heart. And many of them said they were first started reading they first started reading the Gospel of Matthew, because that was the very first one, because it's in the New Testament. And one of them actually talked about loving your enemies. Wow. Love your enemies. Another one said the Yeshua, Jesus, opened their heart. In Matthew 5:44, it says, "But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." In Acts 16:14, it says, "The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." And here's a scripture that you guys don't have, but at 6:21 it says, "For where your treasure is, so your heart will be also." Amen. And what was really moving was when some of them led, when someone led their mothers to Jesus. That was really awesome. Because they really, boy, some of those guys were just really moved by that, and they were really touched when they were leading their moms to Jesus. About half of them lived in homes, the other half lived in homes that didn't believe in anything. But a lot of those cases, scriptures, was mentioned in Isaiah 53. And this is what it says in Isaiah 53:3. "He is despised, he is rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." "And as we are like sheep have all gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." You know, it was really powerful. And he said I noticed that many of those people said scales. He said the scales just came off my eyes and I saw Jesus for the first time. It was a beautiful thing. He said they were smiling and they had been set free. That was really awesome. They had been set free. And the thing that impressed me the most was the parts that they read. They said it was Jewish. It was Jewish. The book of Matthew is about a Jewish prophet. Many people in the book claim that Jesus was the Messiah. In Matthew 7:28, it says, "And so it was when Jesus had almost ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." In Matthew 14:33, it says, "And then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, Truly you are the Son of God." And many of the Jewish believers had to surrender. To take the Lord, to ask the Lord. A lot of Jewish believers finally realized that they couldn't do it by themselves. They had to ask the Lord. And they had to come to Jesus in faith. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." 11:6, or that was 11:1. 11:6 is, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That diligently seek him. You see, the Jewish people are a kind of a show-me people. They're very practical, very practical. It's just the opposite of people who have faith. And I believe that's why God had them read Matthew first. That's why I believe that. The book starts by giving the genealogy of Jesus. In Matthew 1:1, it says, "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." In 2, it says, "And Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begot Judas and his brethren." And it goes on and on and on. It was really interesting that from Abraham to David, there's 14 generations. And then from David to Jesus, there's another 14 generations. Don't you think that's kind of strange? I thought that was very interesting. And I think this is because when you do the genealogy, it connects them, the Jewish people, with what is really going on in their lives. And it connects them. The first time faith is mentioned is in Matthew 6:30, and then it ends with 6:33. That's the verse that we did with the overview. In order to believe that Jesus is saying that you have to believe the Word of God and that it's truth. The Word of God is truth. You have to believe it. And then that's in Deuteronomy 28. In 28, 1, it says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and observe carefully all his commandments which command you today, that the Lord your God will lead you, will set you high above all nations above the earth, of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you, and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall you be in the fruit of your body, in produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways." Wow, that's pretty good. I like that. And God said that, and it's the truth. Amen. And there ended up being 14 promises of God. But those are the promises. If you don't obey God, there are curses. 54 curses. 54. If it were me, I'd just obey God. I obey God for sure. I'm not going to speak of the seven verses right now, but the last ones. This is they're the promises of God. And the word of the Lord in Matthew 6:33, it says, of course it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And that is why the word is about, that's what it's about. It's about receiving him, seeking his face. And then when you seek his face, all these things will be added unto you, everything. You just have to trust. Trust in the Lord. In Hebrews 6:12 it says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. In Romans 10:17 it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. We know that God's word is true, and we have the faith to believe it. We have to have the faith to have that faith. To have that faith. Patience is knowing that it is true, and in being in spiritual battle. That's what patience basically is. In our particular case, it's basically waiting for the promise. And so when we wait, we're in warfare. We're in spiritual warfare. We fight the devil. We take that stance. See, faith comes through hearing and the word, hearing the word. And the word comes through preaching Jesus Christ. Amen. What is really amazing is this guy's friends. And there had to be at least four or five of them at least. Because they're the ones that actually lowered when they couldn't find room inside this one house, according to another gospel. They went on top of a roof and lowered this guy's bed. So it had to be four and maybe another one guiding. But they actually took off the tiles of the roof and they lowered this man. And they really wanted to see, because they wanted to see Jesus. And the man was sick of palsy, and he was lying in his bed. And Jesus could see their faith, because they brought him to be healed. Amen. So in Matthew 9:2 it says, and behold, they brought him, a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, for thy sins be forgiven thee. And at once some of the scribes within themselves, this man blasphemes. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil is in your hearts? Why do you think evil is in your hearts? What is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk. But that you may know the Son of Man has the power on earth to forgive sins, then he said to the paralytic, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. And he arose and departed to his house. Amen. Amen. I remember Pastor Peter in this prayer mountain that he had, I guess. He bought, I don't know, 100, maybe 150 to 180 acres. And I guess it cost him, what, close to what, 250,000, something like that, this thing, something like that, or half a million, all right, okay, half a million, because, and then, everywhere you ask Pastor Peter where there was improvements on the land, you ask him, there's a miracle for every improvement, there's a miracle involved. All the things that he stood in faith for. Because he has the faith to do that. He had the faith to have everything that was mentioned, or even anything that was developed on his land. It was a miracle because he had the faith. And you the stories that were amazing. This one story was about he wanted. There was a situation where he wanted to move a mountain. He wanted to move a mountain. So, in Matthew 11:23, it says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith." In 24 it says, "Therefore I say unto you, whatever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." So he wanted this mountain to move, and so he cast it into the sea, and that was about 100 miles away. To the sea. So he started coming back, you know, once a day he would come. And after 3 days, nothing. And after 6 days, he goes, "Wow." He says, "You know, maybe," he said, maybe the reason why it's not moving, it's too far away. He said, "I'm going to cast it to the Mojave Desert." So he cast it to the Mojave Desert. And he waits. So the first day, the second day, the third day, nothing happens. Nothing has happened. And about the fourth day, he goes, "Lord," he said, "I'm spent. I'm living in a cave," is what he was doing. He was living in a cave. He has this little teeny chapel, but he's living in the cave because he's trying to get away from these people that are trying to get his money. And they're trying to get his money. He's on greens, he's on mustard greens, those yellow flowers that you see going wild. He's living on that. And that's all he has. And that's all he's living on. He says, "Lord, I'm going to give up. This mountain is just too much." And so he said, "That's it. I'm done." He said, "I am done." And he started to turn, and all of a sudden he said, "Peter, stop." And he goes, "What was that?" And he said, "Peter, stop." And the Lord said to him, "You are cutting off my word like a fish. You're cutting off the head and you're cutting off the tail." He says, "What do you mean?" He says, "Well, in 22, Mark 11:22, it says, Jesus answering unto them, have faith in God. And on 25, Mark 11:25, it says, you stand praying, forgive if you ought to have against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." "Oh," he says. And he realizes that there were two families that cost him a lot of problems, and he was in unforgiveness toward these two families. They had him going every which way, because before he bought Prayer Mountain, before he bought it, he had a church in Orange County And these two families were coming against him. And they would go in behind his back. And they would speak behind his back. And he said, no, I can't forgive, Lord. I can't forgive. I can't forgive. And the Lord says, well, okay. He says, well, that's it. And so it was one day, then it was 2 days, and he kept on thinking about this unforgiveness. And so finally on the third day, he goes, okay, all right. All right, Lord, you win. You win. So he finally says, okay, Lord, you win. I'm going to forgive those two families. And the Lord says, good, good. Well, the very next day, in the morning sometime, Peter sees this pickup truck going around his area, and he goes, what is going on here? So he goes down and meets the pickup truck, and the pickup truck says, are you the owner? He says, well, Jesus is the owner. He says, but I tend it. He says, and they said, okay. He said, one of them said, I'm with Caltrans. And this other man here is a general contractor. And we've inspected your mountain over there. And you know what? We're building a road, a highway, in the Mojave Desert, and we want to buy your mountain. Wow. He goes, wow. He says, you do? So eventually they paid him. And they paid him all this money. And he had more money that he could really dream about. Because he paid off the loan that he made to buy the property. He bought some other things. But what was amazing about this thing is, yes, there was unforgiveness because he had unforgiveness. But the main thing is that he had the faith to believe. To believe to move the mountain. And that mountain got moved. That mountain was going to be moved. That was so powerful. So powerful. So why do I mention faith? Because faith, I believe, will be essential in the ending days. Faith is part of the fruit of the Spirit. It's in the book of Revelation. Faith is mentioned 4 times in the book. It is the second most mentioned in the book about the fruit of the Spirit. And the most is, believe it or not, is patience, number 6. That's 6 times it's mentioned. Faith and patience, you get the promises of God. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, what happens when there's no doctors? What happens when there's no doctors? There's no electricity. Just like I mentioned 2 weeks ago, you know, you're sitting there trying to cook a piece of meat and there's no electricity. But yet, when you open the oven and you put it out for your family, there it is. It's red hot. It's ready to go. There's healing. You need healing. You like it? See, what happens, you're going to need things. You're going to need a lot of things during the end times. Well, how do we get them? How do we get them? Well, we use the Word of God. And that famous Word of God is Mark 11:24. Pastor Joshua's favorite verse in the world. It's Mark 11:24. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive, and you shall have it. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. And that's it for tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah.